Hi, Torn Tribe. This week, Athena and I are bringing you back to our episode number 75, Embracing Growth, Parent Coaching.
Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to Torn, Finding a Mom Life Balance. Welcome back to Torn, Finding a Mom Life Balance. Today, we're going to talk about embracing personal growth, parent coaching. So in the first half of this topic, we talked about getting coaches to just to help us grow personally, professionally. But coaching doesn't only stop there, Torn Tribe. So we wanted to share with you some of the whys why we even seek coaching, even in our parenting journey. So Memes, do you remember what kind of kicked that off, if that started pre-pregnancy or while you were pregnant?
My why on parenting coaching was just self-exploration at different phases where Athena had Sasha and Sam. A friend of mine had a daughter, and when, you know, we were very close and I would spend a lot of time. Anytime I was around anyone that, you know, either needed the nurturing or the supervision or the care, because I didn't particularly like babysit or things like that when I was younger. But I would come across scenarios that would bring up questions of, you know, how well did I do the paying attention, the being playful, which that friend always noted how I could like roll around on the ground and knew all the princesses and know all the songs to the Disney movies and things like that. So I felt like the fun stuff to parenting, I think I had down and I would be good at. And then I just always observed my friends' parenting and what they valued at different stages on the making rules and good cop, bad cop. And, you know, teenage angst and decision making and celebrations and achievement and all those things. And my advice, as people will ask me how I feel about parenting, it's thinking a little about how you are when those things show up, when if you have a younger sibling, if you have nieces and nephews before you become a parent, and any other children that you know spend time with and influence, is that some of it you can see how you are, but some of it will be really unique to your experience with your own children, and that those scenarios vary. I feel like I spent a lot of time with little ones that I'm a role model for, while some people might not. And then I always think about when I'm in the presence of someone single, not related to kids, or very like in their phase, they're in their 20s, and it's just like seems like kids are a disturbance, or that could be how you feel forever, or that could be that you only feel that way about other people's children, but you would, you know, enjoy having your own children. So I think for me, it was like a personal reflection that then led into reading about it when I was reading self-help or personal growth books, like Daring Greatly by Brené Brown was one thing that brought up like a parenting manifesto and some of the anecdotes of thinking about your own shame, your courage, come up with what being a role model to your children and raising someone up. So I think a lot of my initial exploration was just situational. And then it became more reflective on the what I thought would be tough parts of parenting for me.
I would say that growing up in our household, because our mom for part of her career was in a daycare setting, and then she actually ran a daycare out of our home, that we were exposed to little people from early on. But I will say, I at least consciously, I did not attribute that made me kids or embrace kids. Because mm-hmm. in the moment, I enjoyed being around them. But then as I got older, thinking of what my life would be and what it would consist of, it became more and more self-focused. So it's like my career and traveling and making sure I was financially stable. And so parenting kind of went to the back. So much so that when I did my pre-marriage counseling with my husband, before we got married, we actually went through this book that kind of asked you questions about all different aspects of your life. One of the shocking answers was, how many kids do you want? Like, questions to me was, how many kids did I want? And I just put down zero because I'm like, no, I don't think kids fit my career. And I don't think they fit into traveling. You know, and so it wasn't until we were pursuing it that I started thinking about and seeing myself as possibly being a parent. And it didn't come in the form of like, oh, I desire to nurture someone and take care of someone. It was more of, I went into work one day, saw a pamphlet on the office manager's like desk, took it and became obsessed with these doom and gloom statistics. And I just wanted to give someone an opportunity. I wanted to give someone a chance, right? To become their best self because they were actually given an opportunity and not dealt this terrible deck of cards and left alone to have. So that was the heart behind pursuing adoption, was I just wanted to change one person's life from becoming that statistic that seemed like it was. And I wanted to see God do the impossible in someone's life. And so that's how we headed on this parenting journey. And it wasn't until we actually brought Sasha home that I realized, man, I know nothing about parenting, and having a child actually triggers things in my personality. So, or at my person, I was like, So then because I was seeing that I had anger management issues and I had control issues and I was just a very selfish person, I started to read avidly and seek out actual like counselors, like therapists. And through therapy, I was able to find like certain resources. But what drove me to getting coaching in my parenting was seeing all these negative attributes of myself that I just didn't want to be me. That's not who I was, right? Because in my career, I wasn't necessarily selfish. I was a good coach, right? Like, and even like coaching basketball, like I ran a good team. And so I also flourish in my parenting ability. So, Meme, what are some of the hows of like how you went from before being a parent, being curious about it, reading stuff about it, and when you actually became a parent? How did you manage that?
And it's curious because the career overlap definitely influences being in education. You know, you get the parents who will question your judgment of things because you're not a parent or you're just around, right? You get a flood of information from the group of students you have and the parents that you meet and the trends that you're seeing or how they're dealing with things. So for me, I think just my self-help, for some reason there was like a stage where it must have been Oprah was highlighting all these parenting advisement books, but I came across The Conscious Parent pretty early on. If I remember correctly, I was reading it before having Soph, but more in the lens of being a step parent. And I like, you know, eventually Dr. Shefali Sabari makes the series of like Conscious Family and different phases of this consciousness. And it's similar to what Athena's speaking about. It's like what unearths in parenting your mirror, right? And how do you show up? What's triggering you? What's the mirror your child, because her lens is very much that your parenting is this next step of personal development that is teaching you something about yourself. Because children, in being whole and not having the hangups and not have, you know, limited experience, you know, when they're younger and they're growing their experience, you make up so much of their world, but it's based on your experiences. So in thinking about healing, all those things, it fit right in with my interest in self-discovery and figuring out the me, because I think somewhere along my education and my career path, for me, the equation was always what I could control, and that what I could control was me. And so if I was infuriated, I went 0 to 60 all by myself in front of the toddler, and I was the one having the meltdown. It usually means that it's something. It usually means that I had to resolve something, realize something, and that you can manage what the result is based on how honest you are with yourself about what's going on with you when things happen in your relationships with your children, which pretty much carries over to relationships with anyone, right? It's what happened in the communication. How did it make you feel? How did you address it? Why? And then in parenting, because you have so much of an influence, it is that line. For me, it was always the question of the line of how much is me showing up in this and how much is this for the child? Is it about how important I think it is for Justin to be involved in things, or is it what it's going to look like for me to be the influencing factor, making sure he's involved in things? And, you know, little things from like if your children mind their manners and are polite to others, they say please and thank you, and they're on the development milestone, right? We feel those judgment, all those things that bring us to feeling torn are the things you have to bring back and ask yourself, like, what's showing up for me here? And so just seeking out people whose strategy and approach aligned with self-exploration, because that's the piece I could control and what I could contribute to our family.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that, because it's so true that it's the thing born that actually elevate us and push us to become better parents in the end. Because it was exactly that like, why am I losing my cool over the Kool-Aid? Or why do I have to control everything to make sure there is no mess, when this is just their age? They're going to make a mess no matter what it is that you do with them. And so I decided the how for me, the resources was, counseling. And I always say this: therapy plus Jesus equals an amazing person, because it was literally that equation that helped me have a breakthrough in my parenting. So I was given this book called Healing Parents, Helping Wounded Children Learn to Trust. And I love that the title is really Healing Parents, and then the subtitle, Children Learn to Trust and Love, because in order to actually teach something, you have to be the healed parent. You can't actually teach a wounded child how to trust and love until you're healed, learn how to trust and love. And bringing my son Sasha home, I realized that I was not a healed parent. I was a wounded parent, and I did not trust or love many people in my life. I always had guards up. The whole control, the whole anger was this fear of abandonment, this fear of being taken advantage of or deceived, right? So dealing actually made me a bit. But it wasn't until I had the child to trigger that desire or that revelation that I began to actually allow Jesus in to heal me. And the book that I will share that I still read to this day, you know, that was so profound that I never realized before becoming a parent, is the book of Proverbs in the Bible. which actually Proverbs is full of wisdom, right? Like it has all these different little clauses that are just soaked in wisdom, like applied not over and over again. And it's so interesting that it's actually a book that is encouraged to read because it says it has the ability to live life skillfully. It will give you the ability to live life skillfully and graciously. And that's what I designed. And it's so interesting how so much of the book talks about parenting and it talks about children. So even though I didn't read it as a child, I can see, oh yeah, I did all these things to bring my mother and father, you know, and now my child's doing the same, but look at how the parents respond in this text dealing with that. And these are kings and queens responding because the book was written by King Solomon. And there are certain proverbs in here where he's penning what his mother had spoken to him while he was in kingship. And so it's just a very beautiful, practical way of dealing with every day. And it has 31 chapters, so you could literally read a proverb a day to become a better parent. So, which I think is so key, but it goes back to like having both in the equation. You need to be healed and in order to be that parent that your child trust and love. And I like that this book had that in the title, Learn, because it isn't something that we're innately born with. If we want to become good at anything, we must learn more. We must like acquire that spirit of being a life learner and not shy away from it. So memes. Yes, memes. I was going to say, you know, we kind of shared our why and our how, like what prompted us to seek out coaching for parenting. And then about that, you were sharing some of your resources. I don't know if there were more books or like teachings or modeled parents that helped you achieve your like how.
I just feel like similar to education, it's just been throughout our life, right? So definitely, you know, from day one with So, from in the belly birth, I really did model a lot of what mom did. I enjoyed the morning routine, the singing, the narrating, the tummy time, the day worked around the baby to the extent of nap times were in and wearing a hat outside and being very protective of this very fragile being. And that is something that I always admired, seeing how she could just like, it had been years with us, but then she would just like flip it on with kids she was taking care of or nieces or nephews or anyone that she was close to. And I feel like that is something that it feels natural to me, and I know it was learned, but from that space. And then that the biggest epiphany for me was the fact that what I had learned in the classroom about kids being a mirror, about this experience being a mirror, was similar for parenting. That I think when you're in the hustle and bustle, if you don't take a minute to pause and reflect or find a way in the middle of the night while you're breastfeeding, while you're making the food, while you're washing a dish or something, to reflect on how much you're growing and changing in that phase, it's already overwhelming, but it can be extra overwhelming if we're not present in it. Because that epiphany for me was the one that kind of held me through. It was like this, in my personal journey, I'm always like seeking to grow, get better at something, learn new things about myself, understand myself better. And that it definitely was this next phase of that journey for me. And so being in tune with what was making me happy, what brought me peace, what were the small things that could fit in there to bring me peace, and what were the things still bringing up a lot of torn feelings or questions or doubt. And then in the present, I would just say embracing embracing the phase and then seeing what information, trying to get ahead of it. But you know, kids will get to different phases at different times. Even if you're reading up and expecting it in a milestone, it could be 6 months early. That phase could be 6 months later. Or terrible twos can last all through threes too. And I think it's regularly just delving into what are the experiences, what are people saying, what do I want to read about. From what I choose to read with our family, what activities I try to include so that it feels like Omar and I are having conversation and being conscious of what's going on with the kids and with us and why and what's important to us during that phase.
Yeah, it definitely impacts like what you do now and the results. I would say after all those years of therapy and the continual reading of Proverbs on a daily basis, what I have seen is, one, I've grown personally and have become, and it's so interesting to hear other people say this to me because I never way, especially since I'm married that exudes patience and is very peaceful. They're like I'll meet other moms and they're like, you're so peaceful. Like, your kid could be, like, hanging off the edge of a roof and you're, like, slowly walking to them to remove them from the danger. And I'm like, well, it's partly, you know, the results of therapy, the results of being placed in the Word on a regular basis, and the kids wear you down, you know? Like, they help. And especially having four, I couldn't be the firecracker personality that I was prior to having them and still fizzle. It fizzles out eventually. But I would say the major result that I've seen through being conscious of desiring coaching in my parenting is a unified vision with my husband on the values that we want to instill in our children. And so now that we have a college age son, it's exciting to see how different that experience is than when I was in college. I really treasure and cherish that my son still talks college courses and desires to like share impactful texts or like impactful experiences or people that he's met or ideas that he has, and getting to experience that journey with him, because that is one thing, like, you know, I didn't necessarily have parents that 100% understood or were exposed to college environment, so it was hard to have that bond with them when I was in that season of life. But because I've embraced like continual learning, even when he's saying stuff that I feel like is so foreign or talking about topics that I live under a rock, because me, I'm not like you in the midst of the culture. Like, I am still stuck in the 90s. Like, I will be honest. So it's nice to have him bring me up to speed. And I'm like, what's that word mean? I shouldn't be saying that word.
You don't even want to know the ones they use now. Now it's dating me because I just have such a visceral response to the shenanigans. I'm like, what?
I know.
Does all your slang have to sound offensive, even if that's not what it means? Does it have to sound offensive?
Does it have to make me feel dirty just because I heard you say it? Exactly. But yeah, so it's just fun that what I've seen is that if I embrace growing all the time, that I will always have this connection with my sons of an open door, right? And that I don't become time boxed to them or only relevant for certain things. Biggest thing me and Steve desires that all the days of our lives while we're here walking on the earth, that we would be able to connect with our sons where they're at and enjoy the journey that they're on. Not to influence it by any means, like not to control it, but just to experience it. So that's been exciting.
I think some of our, action step would be to think about what is a concern or a need you currently have. And if it's a blog, a book, sending us a message just to talk about it, it would be to to be constantly learning, if that's personal growth for coaching. Our highlight this month is just kind of what lives in our heart of what we want to keep exploring with ourselves and keep digging into for parenting and career pursuits, where we want to keep the fun, the creativity, the excitement about what we're doing in our lives. And so we just recommend that you do a little of that exploration and digging, and please share what you find.
Definitely share. And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week. And so, memes for our men's segment of the show. What's mending you these days?
I'm about to begin the mend. I'm starting my holiday vacation in a time in New York right now that's a little worrisome and concerning with the number of positive COVID cases and, you know, just more unknown, which the Torn Tribe will know is what has been the hardest to bear over this time, along with losses and worry. It's just this feeling of the uncertain. So just trying to take a break to relax, regroup, feel stronger. But I'm keeping my 2021-2022 school year mantra of like less is more. Because I think it's going to help me feel whole through whatever's coming next.
Less is definitely more. Because even though you think you're doing less, you're really not.
It's you find so many things that pop up that it's like, oh, have to do that too.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder.
Yeah.
But I would say what's mending me is having the kids home on break. A surprise. I'm pretty sure Miss Carol that says, you know, when is school starting again? Mom and Dad are wishing school would start again. But as for right now, like, I am thoroughly enjoying all four of them home, and each we've been doing something as. And one of my things that we've done so far, and there's still time to do it, Torn Tribe, is a Christmas light hunt. So there's tons of lights out there. You can just drive around in your car, keeping it safe, not touching anything, or you just stay in your car. And it was the most delightful thing to do. We drove like all around Charlotte and saw like a couple of new houses that we had never seen before. And at the same time, we were able to, what I've noticed is that a lot of the houses this year were actually donating to a cause, right? So there were houses to donate to for like St. Jude's Hospital, and there were houses to donate to for the Hungry, Five Loaves, Two Fishes. So it was just awesome to be able to give back to the community and enjoy time with my sons and discuss what is considered decoration. that was the big determining event. Do we check the box? Do we not check the box? Because it's just lights changing color, like it's a dripping icicle. But is that really a moving decoration, or is it the deer that looks like it's eating grass and its head goes up and down really slowly?
So, yeah, I vote for the deer. It's not the lights. Yeah. Who said? Was that Sam? Sam,
yeah.
Said that. Sam twinkling. Wanted... It's changing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, he wanted to check the box.
I know my nephew.
The keeper of the check. But no, it was fun because, and also, this just shows like moms and boys, I think. So the list is one unified list. Everybody's supposed to be on the same team. Just looking out for stuff. You read the list out, whatever sticks in your mind. If you find it, it gets checked off. Of course, most of my boys didn't understand that. They're like, we're not racing.
The competition, yeah. You're in the same vehicle.
I know. I'm like, no, this is like, we're not competing. We're not. So, there you go, Torn Tribe. I have a very competitive bunch. But it was very enjoyable. So, and you can make it whatever. It doesn't have to be like a published list or anything like that. That you keep, because they did with their grandmother, where she paid them a penny for every snowman that they, I wouldn't suggest getting involved in that. You'd be surprised how many snowmen are out there. But yes, good times.
We are at TornMLB on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please drop us an email to tornmlb@gmail.com. Thanks for joining.
Choose grace.
When you feel torn, choose grace.